We're taking a week off of our series. After I received the phone call last week in the morning, talking to Wes's mom, the Lord clearly moved that whatever I was planning is off the table. So this comes from the Lord, I trust. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to John 11. John 11 is a passage that is often read if you go to funerals, but it rarely seems to be preached just on a regular Sunday. But today we're going to do it. Trying to think of a title of the message, and the best I could come up with is God's Got This. God's Got This. You know, I think we know that in our mind, but it's hard to really always apply it in life. Yesterday, we were moving our oldest daughter from Elkhart to Lafayette, and we had all kinds of plans that we made, online reservations and all those things, and, you know, pretty early on we realized that none of that was going to work out. We went to the business. They told us to pick up the U-Haul, and they had been closed for over a year. Of course, you call the emergency 1-800, help us U-Haul, please, and nobody answers. You go online, and who knows when they return back. So we're driving to every U-Haul place in Elkhart County, and no one has anything, except there was one lady that did help us as far as letting us know that they're crazy. And she worked for them, so. No, she did help us some, but we realized that we had made a plan, and if the truck that we were supposed to get was the one that was on that lot that had been there for a year, we'd have to get a lawnmower to get it out. So next door to the U-Haul place was Penske. They had nice trucks. So Hannah and I said, that's it, let's go next door. God put a person in our life. Our son, Jared, had called earlier and said, Dad, you might want to consider this. And happened to be right next to the last U-Haul place that we were trying. Happened to be, right? And walked over there, and the girl said, oh, yeah, I talked to your son. I can help you. I got a truck out there. It's brand new. Okay. It's bigger than you wanted. Okay, I'll take that. And I'm going to give you a huge discount for everything that's happening. Okay. Yeah, we like you. One of the angels, right, that God sends along the way, and God's got this. So we're driving down, of course, and I've already told you about our conversations that we have, and we tried a new road, you know, from Elkhart. We took 31 to 25, Logan Sport, right? I've never been on the one between Logan Sport and Lafayette before. It was new. It was nice, and we're just enjoying it. And, wow, look at that. Ooh, that's wonderful. And my wife's on the GPS, and we're following it pretty consistently. And she says, okay, and about 5 miles, we need to get off on this road. And you know, being the guy that knows everything, right, I immediately start questioning, why in the world would they take us off of this to put us on some county road? I've seen these county roads we're going by. There's nothing there. And so she says, hey, that's what it says. That's what it says. And it's never enough, right? We just want to argue the point. And really, I just want to yell at my phone. So she's saying, okay, we're a mile away. We say, we're a half mile away. Okay, so now I'm starting to focus, and as soon as she said we're half mile away, she says, there it is, turn! You said it was a half mile away! I know, I'm sorry. So we had to turn around. after a mile, come back and got on the right road, and it dropped us right off where we needed to be, past all that construction they're doing, you know. That's for our good. I want you to know that. And I thought about that in regards to God and the way he directs our lives and he has our paths. And there's a lot of directions God gives us that we like to question along the way. What? It's a pretty nice highway, Lord. I think I get to Lafayette and figure my way over there. I don't need to get off of this. This is barely an exit, okay? The cow doesn't want to cross that thing. But you want me to do that, all right? So we get off and we challenge and we say, God's got this, and I know I've said it, and I think I believe it, and I think many of you believe it too. But then when things get tough, don't we question? God, where are you? What's going on? You know, do you really have this thing in my life that's happening? Because it doesn't feel like it, and I really don't want to get off on some exit. I'd rather go straight to the blessing or whatever it is you have for me. And we just miss it so often. And so when we get to this story here, I really thought that I think that's a good title for it. God's got it. There's so much in it. And I thought about it. I said, you could write a book on chapter 11, just chapter 11. There's so much in it. So we're obviously just going to highlight certain things, but I want to walk through it. So if you have your copy of God's Word with you, we're going to kind of walk through it and glean from it on how we can know with confidence that God's got this, whatever this is, in your life. Okay? So Jesus has been ministering for a while, and it's getting towards the end of his ministry, and the shadow has started to cast larger and larger, looming in his life, and he knows that. He's been telling others that, and they're quite not getting it. But nevertheless, that's where we're at. So verse 1 of chapter 11 of John says, there was a certain man that was ill, Lazarus of Bethany. So already we're getting a hint of what's happened here. There's a crisis going on. There's a take the exit that's happening in someone's life already. We don't like some of the exits that God puts in our lives at all. We like the smooth highway with the nice, you know, places on the side where you can get off and get those rest stops. But sometimes things happen. And it was Lazarus of Bethany, and it tells us a little more, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Oh, we're getting a little bit more now. This isn't just any group of people. I think this is significant. This isn't just some stranger that comes alongside that Jesus absolutely would minister and love to. This is someone who's really close. In fact, if you go on, it was Mary. This is actually going to happen later. Who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So we have now a bigger picture. This is someone that he's very close to. And I love that of this story because, you know, the Lord has, even with those he loves, times where he puts them on exits. They don't want to get off of. And so it was an exit of illness. And it says, so the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. I'm going to stop right there and let you know something. If you don't know it, you might be on that nice 25 highway. You might have fit one of those exits that God loves you. This is very important early on in this story that out of the heart of the one who created you, the one who designed you, before time, knew your name. He loves you. No matter what exit or what road you're on in life, he loves you. He loves you. You have to get that sink in because if you don't, you're going to start looking at the exit. And all the, what am I doing here? And you'll miss the point that God loves you. God loves you. He knows your name. The one you love is ill. When Jesus heard it, he said, well, this illness does not lead to death. What? Ultimately, it's not death, is the point. It's going to come more apparent, of course. He said it was for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. I want us to understand what's going on here. You have to go back to chapter 1 and verse 14, right? We beheld his glory. The glorious one, the only one of the Father, full of grace and truth. This whole situation is simply to highlight Jesus and who he is. One more time, because we didn't get it the first 55, right? Here he is. This is who I am. I am, and he's going to even talk about that a little bit later in this chapter, and giving them hope. Not only does he love them, but he is the great I am. So he says, okay, this is something about Jesus now. This isn't about Lazarus or Mary or Martha. I thought that exit was all about me and my problem, but God had something else in mind. And we need to know that when we're walking through life and we think, oh man, we take so many things so personal. Well, I got to tell you, of course it is personal when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but God's got this. And when he sends you on an exit in life, he's there with you. He already loves you. He already knows your name. And by the way, he's the one that said, turn right now. What? Yeah, that one? No, I don't want to go. That's the one. That's the exit. Okay. Verse 5, I believe, it says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is a different word. Sometimes we get hung up on, I've heard so many lessons on agape, phileo, and all that. And let me tell you what, he's using all of them. This is a different love. He loves them completely. So here we have a different love, just an expression of a real commitment to him, a choice. He loved Martha and his sister Lazarus very much. And so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he got on his fastest donkey and he ran, right? No, he didn't. He stayed. You know, you can read some of the commentaries on this, and they'll tell you, well, it was a day's walk, and they'd already taken a day to come out there, and most likely Lazarus was already dead by the time the messenger even got back, because it'd take them a day to walk back, and Jesus just stayed 2 days. He wasn't worried about that at all. And something you need to know about the God who loves you and the God who sends you on exits you don't want to take, but he's with you, is that he's running on his own schedule. He ain't running on your schedule. I know you have an itinerary, and you think about it. There was a prayer request here, wasn't there? I mean, there was a prayer request here. Lord, the one you love is ill. You got to come right now. How many times have I prayed that? God, this is happening, and you got to do something about it. You got to do something about it now. And God says, no, I don't. I don't. Father, they're falling apart. Yeah. That's right. They are. Did you back up and remember something? Did you remember that God loves you? No, I think we've already lost that, haven't we? Because we're in the middle of our pain sometimes, and we forget. You've got to back up and remember in the midst of God, I don't want to get off this exit. I don't like this at all. This is terrible. Wait. You love me. You know my name. And you're the one who sent me on this crazy cow exit. Okay. I don't know why you're waiting. Some of you have been waiting a long time, haven't you, for your request to be fulfilled. God's on his own schedule. And he's doing it to reveal something about him. And also to help us grow in our own faith in him. And frankly, I'm kind of glad, and I bet there could be some testimonies here, that God didn't answer all my prayers. So here we have this going on here, and he just hangs around. He stayed 2 days longer, it says. in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, okay, let's go. Let's go to Judea again. Okay, nice if you'd done that earlier, but we're going to go. But yet the disciples, all of a sudden now, they don't like this exit at all. Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again? What are you doing? I'll translate it for you. Are you crazy? Don't do that. They hate you. They're literally wanting to kill you. They're beyond threats now, all right? They probably got a bunch of hired assassins with their hidden knives ready to pounce on you the second. Your wanted poster is everywhere, all over the place. I'm pretty sure you don't want to do that. You're not fit. You need some rest, Lord. Here, have something. Have an icy. That'll help. Icy's always help. Do I have an amen? Amen. By the way, you should never make fun of a guy who has the last word on the platform. All right. Anyway, so they say you're not 12 hours in a day. If anyone walks in the day, he's not stumbled because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. What? You ever read the Bible and say, what are you talking about? Okay. Woo, that was either a rabbit jump or I missed it. I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, the Lord is there. He's got business to do, and he's going to get it done while he's there. This isn't a time to go off and start praying. Sometimes we do that with our faith walk, especially on the exits we don't like in our life. We say, well, Lord, I'm going to pray about this. Some people have been praying for 30 years. They're still praying. They're on the edge of the exit. And God says, I'm telling you what, where you need to go is through there to there. And God says, stop praying. Imagine God ever saying that. Well, here I am. I'm going to tell you. I think sometimes God says, would you just stop praying and get out and do it? Do it. Obey. Take the exit. I don't like it. I'd ask you if you liked it. It's what you need. Come on, we've done this with our kids and grandkids and our friends at times all the time. I mean, think about it. Do you give them everything they want? I hope not. That would be horrible. I suppose there's some that do. But there's oftentimes loving parents that realize you can't do that. And so sometimes you just say, nope. And so he says, hey, I got business to do. And while I'm here, it's daylight. Let's get it done. Because there's coming a time when... you know, I'm out, I'm gone, and it's going to be on you as the light of the world. After saying these things, he said to them, the disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go to wake him. I don't think they were confused on that. To say asleep, they would understand that. It was simply meant that he has died, and they got it. Okay, he's died. He's going to go to... So the disciples said, well, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Oh, maybe they're confused a little, huh? It's not just falling asleep. It's death. They took it as... Now, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he meant something else, taking rest. And we can get confused on those exits sometimes. We think one thing. We think we got it. And it's not what it meant at all. Well, Jesus told him plainly finally, so he said, okay, look, if you need interpretation, he's dead. He's dead. And for your sake, I'm glad. You don't normally hear that in counseling ministries. When people come and someone has died and it hurts their heart and they say to him, well, I'm glad. But for this, it was going to be that way. I'm glad I wasn't there with him so that you may believe, but let us go anyway. Now, this next section is just so cool. So here's Thomas. You remember Thomas. What do you know Thomas for? Doubting. Well, let's give him some kudos. Look at what Thomas does here. Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may also die with him. All right. I like that guy. You know, he probably needs a little tweaking here and there. You know, he's running the battle with, he's going to attack hell with a squirt gun or whatever, that kind of a personality. But he's ready to go. He's ready to fight. He's ready to go. And I love that about Thomas. We need to kind of remember that, you know, we're all these characters at times in our lives. I don't think it's fair to peg him as doubting Thomas. May I say he's believing Thomas now, because there's been time in my life where I have doubted. So Thomas is ready to fight. I love it. All right, he says, all right, let's go, let's go. Well, he'll straighten him out later. Verse 17, Jesus came. He found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. This is significant. If you do some reading, they believed, the culture believed, that for 3 days, the soul and the spirit kind of lingered around with the hope that it can reattach itself to the body again and that person can come back to life. But after that, it was over with. So that's been busted, because Jesus just waited beyond that false syncretistic, I got the word in, type of belief. People have them. People have strange things that aren't biblical. And even sometimes in the New Testament world with their own disciples, they're still learning and still growing. And so that one's blown away because it's past the 3 days time. It's the 4th day. And Bethany was next to near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. Many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. Now, before we get there, I want to just understand, this is a different kind of a culture than our culture. And there's things about this culture I like and things that I don't like. This is one of the things I do like. It's very much community-oriented. The people were very concerned about one another. Even if you didn't know the person, they're all in when something bad happened. And there were practices and things that they would do, and mourning was one of them. I mean, if you're in a village and someone dies, you don't just send them a card. Not in this culture. In our culture, that's what we do. And sometimes that's all we can do. I get it. But here was different. They're kind of a collective kind of a culture. What happens to one happens to all of them. There's something biblical about that to me. Something I think we can learn from. We're not an isolated group of people. We have got to break that part of our culture, especially when it comes to biblical community. We're never meant to be islands. I've got my one friend over there. Well, I'm glad you have a friend. But we are one body. We're supposed to know each other. And it's hard to get to know each other close. I get it, but we're supposed to work hard at it. Get to know one another, mix it up, find out. And when problems arise and when things happen, the community comes together. I thought it was so moving. Wes's mother called and called the church, and then Darley piped me through, and she was so grateful for those who loved on her son. We were one of the first people she reached out to, and I don't know if they're watching. If they are, our heart goes out to you and the father and the whole family. And we just want to say in Christ, we love you. And we're praying. This is an exit you don't want to ever get off of. But sometimes you do, because some of you have walked through that exit, haven't you? She said, man, they just took him in, and then she talked about watching him being baptized. It was last December. I wasn't here. I was fighting that lovely thing called COVID, and I was at home, but Pastor Dan, I believe, was the one who was here, and she said, we were right there, all of us, watching. That meant so much. He says, I want someone from that group. I want someone from that collection of people to speak at his funeral. I said, yeah. That's what happens when we throw away this island thing. I've got my one friend and I'm good enough, and realize we are a body of Christ. And we're supposed the best of our ability. We can't know everybody, I get it, but we're supposed to love and care. And when there's problems and when there's issues and when there's things, we rally for each other. That's what's going on in this community. I'll tell you, I'm pretty sure not everybody was necessarily in on it. I mean, they do it because for them it was cultural. So there's possibly, honestly, a bunch of people who are wailing and crying that have no emotion attached to it at all, but there's also a large group that do. And that's just the way life is, right? That's the way it is. So we have to realize that, and here they are, they're crying, and but then it says here that she went, in verse 20, Martha heard that Jesus was coming, and as Martha loves to do, she ain't going to sit around and pray about nothing. So she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. You can see it again. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Do you feel her frustration? He didn't answer her prayer the way she wanted it to be answered. She's frustrated. And I like Jesus. He's just kind of go along with it. It's all right. He understands the situation. And sometimes when we're interacting with people that are just blown up, they're after it, they're upset, and sometimes it even comes out at us, right? You got to look way past that. These people are hurting. These people are in pain. And pain and loss of hope, if you don't have the hope of heaven, can take you down exits you don't want to be. You don't want to go. And you, as God's servant in that situation, have to be ready to absorb all that. She's upset at Jesus. There was a time in church when if I heard that, I'd go, but over the years, I have to admit, I am too sometimes. Jesus goes with it. All right. Yeah, okay. Your brother's going to rise again. Thanks for the theology lesson. I appreciate it. Doesn't make me feel any better. I know he's going to. And then Jesus gets to the point. I am the resurrection. Martha, I think that takes us right back to the beginning. Jesus loves you. He is the resurrection. He is the life. If you want to go to the Father, you got to go through him. So here he goes. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. I cannot speak to the dark exit that Wesley was on. He was in church sitting right there last week. He was at the thing Sunday night, I believe. Having a good time, I assume? Himself. Can't speak to that. I don't know. I know people carry around with them stuff that they keep pretty deep. And so, when this thing happened, I had a hard time with it. Just personally, I thought, how did I miss it? How could I miss that? I mean, could you see somebody in that kind of situation? Not always. Not always. And then there's always the step to do what? To start to blame. I should have done something. I should have did this. I'm telling you what. Stop that. Stop that blame game. It's horrible. I don't know what was going on at the time. There could have been several things that contributed to it. But I want to tell you something that is truth, according to the Word of God. Wesley cried out last year or some time ago, actually, but maybe longer than a year ago. He had heard a message and was moved by the Holy Spirit. He went to his godly grandmother and said, I got questions. She opened the Bible, if I understand, and showed him how he needed Jesus Christ, not only just for eternal life, but part of that was so that he would find peace and forgiveness of sin, which is part of that whole thing. And so he comes and he trusts in Christ as his Savior. And then sometime later, he came up to me. This was actually before COVID. He came up to me. I know COVID year kind of messes us all up in timing, doesn't it? I go, was that 1 or 2 years ago? But he came in and said, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Oh, you do, okay. And so with everything that went on, that didn't happen right away, but it finally did happen, and he made public his profession of Christ. I want to make it very clear that there isn't any sin that could separate you from the love of God. There is no sin. Just read Romans chapter 8, right? In fact, maybe we should. Paul wanted to make that very clear. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where do we get the idea that there's some sins that are unforgivable and some that are? The only sin that's unforgivable is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, my friend, and that is rejection of Christ. That's it. Do you think one sin's better than another in the eyes of God, a holy God? No. It's a horrible thing what happened. We all wish that we could have intervened. He was down a road, an exit he took. But Jesus has this to say to you. I am the resurrection and the life. What do I mean? I want to tell you something. And I mean this with all my heart. No matter how dark things get in your life, no matter how tough the exits are, no matter what you might have done that you are so ashamed of, or something is just poured in and you feel like there's no hope, there is hope. And I don't want you to make that choice that there is no hope. Reach out. Reach out to a brother and sister in the Lord. Reach out to those who can help. We have a counseling center. We have pastors. We have people here that would come alongside and like to open up God's word and not just give you academic knowledge. I know Jesus. He's got to be resurrected. You'll come alongside and pray and walk and drive through that crazy exit that Jesus wants you to take. Please, promise me you'll do that. There's no exit that Jesus takes you off that he can't put you right back on another road. So he says, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. Whoever believes in me shall die. And that's it. There's no like, well, if you're pretty good, or well, if you do that. No, whoever, whosoever. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. I know what time it is. Hang in there. It's my birthday present that I seem to take every week. All right. Okay, I got a few I got to give back, don't I? Okay, here we go. So in verse 28, I believe, it says when she said this, well, first she responds, she says, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. I love that. I love that confession of faith. I hope you're here today and you can say that I believe, Jesus, you are the Christ, the one who's come into the world, the Son of the living God. Is that your confession this day? If it is, God bless you, and yes, you are on your way to heaven. But we go on. When she had said this, she went and she called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher's here. He's calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet come in the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out. And of course, this is all cultural customs. They followed her. So wherever she goes, you know, there's a group of them wailing and crying and all this, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to see to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying the same thing her sister did. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And we come in this very strange verse. I think it's misunderstood a lot. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Now, this particular phrase and word has a specific meaning to it. If you study that phrase in different passages in the Bible, greatly troubled here has to do with anger, frustration. He's put out. He's going to get the others weeping later. This is not that one. Jesus sees all of this. Now, let's back up. I'm sorry. Do you remember? Jesus what? Loves you. Jesus? That's right. He loves you. So he's seeing all that's happening in this world. He's seeing all this pain and all this suffering. And he, can I put it in our language? Maybe this is language of my generation. I don't know. He's ticked off. So sick of sin. I'm so tired of what it's doing to my people, to this world. It's destroying lives. And I think he's, in fact, if you read the word in some of the translations in the other phrases, the same phrase in the other passages, it has the idea of this. Are you ready? I'm going to try to do it good. It's exactly what it is. He's groaning literally from inside. Have you ever had that? I know you have it every time you watch the Colts play. This is more serious than that, okay? But you've got that groaning that you're like, you see something and you're going, ah, ah. Sometimes it's at yourself. Sometimes it's that someone that's really close to you. You're going, you're doing that. Why are you doing that? Ah! Jesus is looking at all this, and he's going, ah! I hate sin. He's greatly troubled, it says. He's just got to get this done. Where have you laid him? Where is he at? You know, find it interesting, Jesus asks questions that he knows the answers to. Jesus, Lazarus dead, he is? Yeah. Like I'm telling Jesus something. So he goes, I believe that's 38, that Jesus deeply moved again. Oh, excuse me, let's back up. Where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And then we get to 35, one that everyone loves. Jesus wept. Now, this is different. This is a different weeping. Now, this is the one that we kind of draw into a little bit more. He sees all that's happening. He's angry, but at the same time, he's overwhelmed with grief. Most of us didn't know Wesley. They do. So when you got the news, I get it. I understand. And there's no judgment at all. You go, man, that is so terrible. And I bet there was emotions of sadness in your soul when you heard that. There could even have been tears that were shed. I get that. But there's levels, aren't there? They were close. When they heard the news, the young adults wept. There was probably anger. Maybe at themselves. Why? All the why questions. And we talked about that. Put that away. Maybe why did you do this to yourself? Or just why God? But at the end of the day, the tears are so sincere. And if you haven't been there, most of you have. You've wept those tears, haven't you? In different parts of your life where you just bawl. You don't know what else to do. I want you to know there is a Savior who cries even before you. He loves you. He loves your kids. He loves your grandkids. In fact, the Bible says he loves the whole world. And he weeps. He's angry at sin. Are you and I angry at sin? We just come to tolerate it? Doesn't whip on the people. He whips on the religious leaders, but he doesn't whip on the people. He weeps for them. He reaches out to them. He's missional. He says, I am the direction. I am the life. You can find what you're looking for on that exit. I don't want that one. That's the one you need. I think it's faster if I stay on 25. No, go over here on 960. 960, what's that? It's the road you've got to take. So Jesus bawls and he's weeping and he's crying more than anyone else, I believe, for what's happening. We got to go quicker here. And they said even, look how he loved them. And then the questions, well, could he not, who opened the eyes of the blind man, also have kept this man from dying? Of course he could. But he was trying to help them come to faith. They had a religion. Many of them, but they didn't have Christ in a relationship. It wasn't there. The thing that blows my mind all the time is we say that a lot. How does that happen? Really? How can you just be religious and hear this word all the time and just keep it right there? But it happens. They're even questioning Jesus himself, but it happens. Well, Jesus comes, he says, okay, I'm going to give you a visual. Take away the stone. Wait a second here now. He done gone crazy. Okay, well, Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by the time he stinks. He's been in there 4 days. It's bad. I'm not. And Jesus said, did not I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Talking about himself. He's revealing who he is. The glory as the only one begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember John 1:14. This whole thing is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, about who he is. He's revealing a little bit more about himself. If you hadn't got it yet by now, I'm just shaking my head, but this ought to do it, you'd think, okay? Okay, so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he's already prayed, Father, I thank that you've already heard me. Isn't that awesome? He's already prayed. When did he pray? I don't know. Before then. Maybe when the news came, when he was in the other town. Maybe before the news came. Maybe even long before that, at some point, Jesus is already has a prayer intercession going on because he knows what's coming. Oh, the power of prayer in our lives if we would just do it. And here he says, Lord, I thank you. You've heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this on their account, the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. So there's the revealing, the glory of God. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And he did. He did. Jesus is calling us to come out. There could be someone here today that's in the spiritual darkness. They're not even on the road. They're stuck in a ditch of sin, and they have a blown tire or whatever. They're not going anywhere except to hell. And Jesus is offering you an exit off. He's come with his repair tire changing service and is ready to go. But he's asking you the same question as Martha. Do you believe this? You must choose. I would offer this to you, Jesus, today, who loves you, even if you didn't know he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he's given you an opportunity this morning, if you're watching this morning, to know without beyond a shadow of a doubt that you will hear his voice one day if once you die, and you will be with him forever. There will come a time when, if the Lord doesn't return, guess what's going to happen to you and me? Right? It's okay. We could talk about it. It's all going to happen to us. It's not really morbid for those in Christ, but we're going to be laid out, aren't we? Are y'all awake? It's not 11:30 yet, but I'm working on it. Going to be there. We're going to be there. It's going to happen. But let me go back one more time. Jesus loves you, and he knows your name. One day, that trumpet's going to sound, and he's going to say, Brian Condon, come on down. Sean Murphy, come on down. And you're going to come out. Then those who are alive and remain are going to be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here's the good news. We're going to be with him forever. No more separation, no more death, no more suffering, none of that. This is a sad time. This is a sad scene. I think we have to admit that. This is you go to a funeral of a loved one, there's tears, and the Bible says, mourn with those who mourn. But guess what? We can rejoice for those in Christ. If you're not in Christ today, your name won't be called. Not for that resurrection. Not for the resurrection unto eternal life. It's going to be called for a different resurrection. Under eternal death, to face judgment on your own. And God says, why would you do that? Well, I didn't want to take that exit. He says, but if you believe in me, if you trust in me, if you repent from what you're trusting in and realize that I am the one that God sent to die on the cross for your sins and to rise again, and if you believe in me, I will bring you right to the Father. But you got to do that today. Don't roll the dice on that one. Don't argue with Jesus like I argued with my wife in GPS. It doesn't work. I'm going to summarize the last part here. For our mission, verse 44, I believe, the man who had come out, had died, came out. Interesting, they said the man who died came out. His hands and feet were bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. There's a lot in that you can really unpackage in your study. He was being resurrected physically again. Now, you've probably heard this in lessons and sermons before, but can you imagine having that, being the guy? So you went through all that. You were sick. You were ill. Went through all that pain and suffering. Got the other side. And as we always do when we get the other side, oh, that wasn't so bad. Oh, this is great. This is awesome. Whoa, man. Absent from the body. Present with the Lord. This is good. What? No! He gets sucked back into life again. Boy, that made his day. So nobody was happy, right? Well, everybody was happy except Lazarus, maybe. It doesn't say that. That's just me. But he gets called back. And interesting, though, they say unbind him and let him go. So there wasn't a sense that he was free because it was just a physical. He was already connected to God years ago. It was a physical thing, so there was things that had to be done. Let him go. And I would say to you as a charge to the church, if you could turn real quick over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe there's a connection here. That those guys had to do something. They were given a command by the Lord to go. Okay, I provided everything. I provided the way. I provided the truth. I provided the life. Now, this is what you guys need to do, okay? Are you listening? This is what you guys need to do. I want you to go, and I want you to unbind him. The power's there. The message is there. The cross, it's finished. It's finished. The battle's over. Go, unbind him. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 now, verse 18. All this is from God, talking about the new creation, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of what? Say it louder. Jesus is telling you and me, in the midst of this funeral of death and evil in the world, go and reconcile others to me. I'll put it another way. Would you make a choice today that you will go and unbind them? Father in heaven, as we close this morning, hearts are heavy indeed. Oh, we don't like the funeral. We don't like it at all. Father, we don't even have to know the person, and we hear the news reports of people being shot or hurt or killed or kidnapped or murdered or missing. And I think there's times where we're just angry. Stop! It's madness. Our hearts are broken. We love the West, and we're looking forward to see him again. We know we will. But Lord, he's got family and loved ones here that are hurting. We got friends, young adults that are hurting. We're hurting. And we're running like Martha and Mary to you. There's always questions, and I want to thank you that we can know, even when you don't answer the way we like to hear, that you love us. You know our name. And you're doing this to show that you have the power and the wisdom and the love to resurrect our dead souls and to give us life abundantly, even on this side of heaven. There are folks here that are hurting. And the exit you asked them to take, they didn't want to choose that one, but they're on it. I pray that until you call them off to a different one, that you will remind them that God loves them, that you love them, and that you know their name. I pray now for those who are wandering away. There are things worse than death, Lord. There is rebellion and living in rebellion. There are many who don't know you. There are many who know you and don't really want to take that exit, Lord. They don't want to walk with you. It's scary to be there, and I pray, dear Father, for them. We just cry out and ask that the Holy Spirit will do an amazing work in their heart. You know them and you know their name. And that you will help them to remember the power that you have over all issues in their life. You can resurrect that spirit that has been beaten down, destroyed, hurt, for whatever reason. I pray that they would turn to Jesus and find life. Until you come, now may the church be the one that goes and unbinds these things that cover people. Help us to be involved in taking off the cloth on the face that they can see. Lord, help them to see Jesus in us. Help them to see the love of God. Help us to unbind the things that are wrapping them, the addictions, the disbeliefs, whatever it is that come with this the sinful world, and help us to be involved in this ministry of reconciliation. We pray, dear God, that you would do this for the glory of God. so that now Jesus, as the one who was the light, we are now that light. You are the light of the world. Help us not to cover that light, but to shine it before men. In Jesus' name.